Hello, Metro Augusta. Hello, Georgia, and hello, wherever you are. This is Janice Allen Jackson welcoming you to the March 13th edition of Local Matters, a show designed to make you a more confident voter and a more engaged citizen. Today's show is brought to you as a service of my consulting firm, and that is Janice Allen Jackson and Associates, where we proudly provide services to local government and nonprofit organizations. If you haven't already, please follow the Local Matters Podcast of Georgia on Facebook if you're on that platform. And of course, we also ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You will get access to information, including notifications when we drop new episodes if you follow and subscribe. Today is my second favorite type of episode of Local Matters. You all know that my first favorite, my absolute favorite, is when we do our election wrap-up episodes. I get a chance to discuss who won, why, and the various things that I've heard in the community about those elections. Today, I also like this because we're going to review the ballot. This is the official kickoff time for you to get prepared for local and state elections, which take place on Tuesday, May 21st. So yes, it's March. Yes, that's more than 2 months away, but now really is the time for us to start getting prepared. So that is what we are going to talk about today. For those of us in Richmond County, and this is pretty much geared to Richmond County, but of course, if you're in other areas, some of these items will qualify, will be applicable to you as well, because many of the dates are standard in the state of Georgia. We're going to review the ballot, Richmond County ballot today. We're going to talk about what the topic of qualifying is. You know, is somebody qualified to run for office? We'll talk about what that means. We'll review the offices. We'll review key dates in the process. And we'll also review a referendum that is on the ballot here in Richmond County. And we'll talk some in detail about how best we can prepare for these elections so that we truly can become more confident voters when we step into the ballot box, either during the early voting period or on our actual election day. However, before we get to that, I want to discuss an interview that I did with Richard Rogers of WRDW. That interview ran last Sunday morning. The show is called One-on-One. I got a chance to go into the studio, and we actually had set this up as an opportunity for me to talk about local matters, to make sure that many in the community are aware of the platform and some of the types of information that we provide here. But he also wanted to talk to me about some current events. So we actually spent a good bit of the time talking about the role of administrator and or city manager. I talked about some of the risks inherent in that profession. I talked about the current status of a Richmond County search or Augusta Richmond County search for an administrator. And I also talked about an item that is on the ballot related to whether the mayor gets a chance to vote on all matters before the commission. So we got into that. The interview totally, I think, is about 10 or 12 minutes. If you miss that, I encourage you to go to any number of places to check it out. One, of course, is the website of WRDW. If you go on there, just search for Richard Rogers One-on-One, it'll come up. It is also on LinkedIn. If you follow me on LinkedIn or you're connected with me on LinkedIn, you'll be able to see it there. It was actually posted there by Joseph Turner, who has also been a guest on the podcast. He was a guest last year. In fact, that was our most popular episode last year. Joseph does things catered mostly toward local government professionals. But because I discussed that in the piece, he posted it on his LinkedIn page and tagged me. So it's there. And as well, it is on the Facebook page of the Local Matters Podcast of Georgia. You all know that a lot of times I refrain from expressing my opinions because it is my role to help people become more informed and not necessarily to get you to vote one way or another. This time, I talked honestly about some of my feelings about things that are happening, and it's rare in that sense. So please, if you haven't had a chance, please listen to that. I actually got more positive feedback about that piece than anything that I've done recently. There was just a groundswell of people either calling me, texting me. I ran into them out somewhere, and they talked about how much they learned from that piece. So please check that out if you get a chance. Also, I mentioned LinkedIn about the article, the story having been posted there. If you all are on the LinkedIn platform, you are welcome to connect with me there. A lot of what I post there is more directly related to my consulting practice and some of the other activities that I'm involved in, but I always like to build connections on that platform. Qualifying took place. Let's shift gears a little bit. Qualifying took place on the last week. That was March 4th through 8th. And when we say qualifying, that just means that the individuals who intended to run submitted their paperwork and paid the fee associated with running for office. You all know that you got to pay something to run. That fee is largely just an administrative type of fee. And I'm going to actually pull up some notes, and all this information that I'm going to discuss today is on the website of the Richmond County Board of Elections. So in the event that you want to go back and check something I said, you didn't remember everything I said, you just go back to the augustaga.gov website, look up Board of Elections, and you can find this information under election info. But again, the issue of qualifying, there's a notice to residents of Augusta Richmond County that was posted actually back in January to give people plenty of time to know how much money they had to raise and to think about what they were going to do. It lists all of the offices and the qualifying fee for each one of those offices, those that are considered local offices and partisan offices. For instance, partisan includes the probate court, the clerk of court, sheriff, tax commissioner, coroner, presiding judge of the civil and magistrate court, and solicitor general of state court. Those offices, when it says partisan, that means that the candidates declare a party affiliation. They're Democrat, they're Republican, they're Libertarian, they're Independent, or what have you. They declare that. And they pay a fee that is a percentage of the salary. And I'll be completely frank with you is that I don't remember if it's 2% or 3%, but it's somewhere. It's a small percentage of the salary. So, for instance, for probate court and clerk of court, that fee is $3,021.66 to qualify. They sign off some documents. They submit those. They submit the money. And hence, that means that you have qualified to run for those offices as long as you did it within the designated qualifying period, which was March 4th through 8th. Also, there were nonpartisan offices, which included the judge of state court, two seats there, currently occupied by Kelly Kenner McIntyre and Bo Hunter, civil court marshal, Augusta Commission districts, the odd number districts 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Those qualifying fees are set again based upon the salary. So, in case of the state court that has the highest qualifying fee, that was $5,133, marshal $3,400. Another high one, in fact, is presiding judge of civil and magistrate court at 4,000. So, and then for commission seats, which of course is considered a part-time position as a part-time public service opportunity, as opposed to those others, which are really full-time jobs. The qualifying fee to run for the Augusta Commission is currently $360. So that is what the individuals had to pay. When you look at a fee like $360 And for the Board of Education, it's actually less than that. Their qualifying for Board of Education seats won't take place until August 19th. So they run on a separate cycle. They'll be on the ballot actually in November. Their qualifying fee for Board of Education seats or being a trustee at the board is only $100. So just want to let you know that the barrier to entry is low for those part-time offices like the Augusta Commission and Board of Education, higher for the others. But that's what we mean when we say somebody qualified to run for office. Also, I want to go over the offices on the ballot. I did pretty much just go through those for you that those are the ones on the Richmond County only ballot. There are some offices that are considered state offices, and those may be multi-county offices. For instance, on top of those, and we'll go through on top of those, there are the ones on our judicial circuit. The Augusta Judicial Circuit used to consist of three counties, which were Burke, Richmond, and Columbia. Of course, Columbia County split off a few years ago. So now, what's on the ballot in the Augusta Judicial Circuit is a Superior Court seat and our District Attorney seat. So those two races are contested, and we're going to try to get those candidates in as well. Also on the ballot are going to be our State House of Representatives and our State Senate. I'm not sure we will be able to get to those during this is the election season because there are so many offices on the ballot, but we will try to get to as many as possible that affect your quality of life here in the Augusta area. I want to now go through one other thing that's on the ballot that is a fairly significant change for us. Is that there is a referendum on the ballot. And some of you may be asking, well, what in the world is a referendum? The brief definition is it is a general vote by the electorate on a single political question that has been referred to them for their direct response. So when we voted on the Coliseum SPLOST a few months ago, in November, that was a referendum as well. That is one of the times where we, as registered voters, get to express our opinion and whatever we say goes. So there's a referendum on the ballot related to whether the mayor of Augusta, whoever he or she is, has the right to vote on every single issue facing the Augusta Commission. If you are not familiar with that issue, what happens now is that the mayor only gets a chance to vote in the event of a 5-5 tie among the commissioners. You understand that there are 10 commissioners, and many times they'll vote, particularly on consent items, everything's unanimous. But there are other times where there's a split among the commission. And the charter of the consolidated government back in 1995 was designed so that the mayor would be in place to break those ties in the event that those happen. What we have seen, which has been surprising, I think, to many, was that the commissioners may often see themselves in a position where they don't want the mayor to vote, so they don't allow there to be a 5-5 tie. A commissioner may abstain and may walk off the dais, et cetera, et cetera. There are ways since the beginning of the consolidated government, there have been creative strategies that members of the commission have used to ensure that the mayor did not get a chance to vote or break those 5-5 ties. So this bill is designed to deal with that. One of the questions that has been asked is how did this even get to the ballot? How is it that that happened? And that's probably a longer story than we have time to get into here today. But I can tell you what is on the Board of Elections website, and that is a copy of Senate Bill 231. that was introduced by two members of the legislative delegation. One is Lee Anderson, who I don't believe represents any of Richmond County right now. I believe his district is in Columbia County and other areas, but still, he is part of the Augusta legislative delegation because it represents the Augusta metro area. Also, Senator Max Burns, who lives in Screven County, I believe he does represent a section of Augusta. You may recall when Harold Jones, State Senator Harold Jones, was on a while back. I think it looked like he represents about 90% of Richmond County. So that means that Senator Burns probably represents about 10%. So this bill was introduced by Senators Burns and Anderson, Senate District 23 and Senate District 24, respectively. And it is was approved by the Georgia State Senate to place this on the ballot in Richmond County. It's simply a yes or no issue, just like the C-SPLOST was for us. You get a chance to vote yes if you believe that the charter of the consolidated government needs to change to allow the mayor to vote on every issue. And you vote no if you don't believe that it needs to be changed. A few days ago, someone sent some information to me to give me a little insight into the discussion that took place in the Georgia State Senate and the Georgia House of Representatives. I actually only looked at the version of the conversation that took place in the Georgia House, and you can go to YouTube yourself and find that. That is on the YouTube channel of the Georgia House of Representatives. You'd have to go through and do a search to find it, but it is there. Perhaps you can search under that Senate Bill 231 number or something. I'm not sure. I'd have to dig around on that. And I honestly haven't had a chance to do that since it was sent directly to me. I didn't have to do it. But I do want people to be aware of the fact that there is so much information about the proceedings of our government that are posted on YouTube. Right now, that channel has 6,600 videos and only 1,970 subscribers. So it probably behooves all of us to subscribe to that channel so we get a feel for what is happening in Atlanta. We used to have to be there. But now there's just so much information that we can get directly. We can just listen to it ourselves. And I encourage you to do that. So that was discussed and voted upon in the Georgia State House of Representatives as well as the Georgia State Senate. And now it is on our ballot for consideration on May 21st. I would encourage you again to get as much information about this issue as possible, so that you can feel good about whatever way you decide to vote on this issue. I want to go over our local matter schedule for elections. Again, as always, we try to feature all of the key elections. Starting next week, March 20th, we will have candidates for Commission District 1. The following week, March 27th, it'll be Commission District 3. April 3rd, Commission District 5. April 10th, Commission District 7. April 17th, Commission District 9. After we cover those districts, we're going to get into other races in our law enforcement arena. Sheriff's race on April 24th, district attorney on May 1st, and Superior Court judge on May 8th. Hopefully, after we cover those elections, we're trying to get as many of them done as possible before early voting starts. I know we can't get all of them in before early voting, but we left another weekend there on May 15th for us to talk about the school closure issue. We know that's been a huge issue in our community, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot I know, frankly, I don't understand. So I'm looking forward to somebody from the school system coming in and explaining that to me too. And then, of course, on May 22nd, the day after election, we'll do our wrap-up episode. and talk about who won, talk about whether we'll have any runoff coming up, and that sort of thing. So now I want to just talk about some of the ways to get information. Candidate forums are a popular way to get information out. You may recall that a couple of years ago, the Augusta Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated partnered with a number of other organizations in something that we call the Partnership for the People, where we had forums for all of the major local offices. We're planning to do that again, and our coalition has grown. Now we're up to about 11 organizations that want to work together with us on this. So I'll get those dates to you. I know some of our neighborhood associations are planning to have candidate forums as well. You've got candidate websites. You also have TV shows. I think some of our local TV shows have already begun to interview candidates, and you can find those on their websites as well. So there are lots of ways to get information. It just takes some time, and I encourage you to use that time wisely to get as much information. And obviously, Local Matters is always here to assist with that. In terms of the registration, voter registration schedule, the last day to get registered to vote is April 22nd. So if you need to register, please take care of that as soon as possible. And please don't wait until the last minute. But the last day is indeed April 22nd. Early voting begins the following week, April 29th, and goes through May 17th. So I know some of you like to vote early. You know, I like to vote late because I always know there's some additional information that usually comes out. So I will probably plan to vote on election day this time around. And of course, again, that election day is May 21st. So I hope this gives you a good overview of where we're headed with election coverage. I encourage you, if you are following us on social media, to reach out if you have any questions or any suggestions. Again, my job is to make sure that you understand what is happening. So we want to make sure that we're answering your questions. So if you got questions, please reach out to me via email, janicealanjackson@gmail.com, or on our social media platform, primarily Facebook, and also LinkedIn if you want to connect with me there. Just let me know what it is that you want to know in between us bringing those candidates in. Also, want to review with you, because it's election season, of course, people are having a lot of get out the vote types of events. And fortunately, I have been asked to speak at a few of those. So I'm giving you a few dates that I know about right now. As more information is provided, we'll solidify that for you. First, on Monday, March 18th, 7 p.m., I will be speaking with the League of Women, excuse me, League of Women Voters of the CSRA. That meeting will take place at the Advent Lutheran Church at 3232 Washington Road. We'll be there, and I'm going to talk some about politics, some about government service, and some, frankly, about my journey as a woman in a leadership role in local government organizations. Because this is Women's History Month, they wanted me to come in and talk about some of those things. So I'll talk some, I'll take questions, and I think we'll have a great conversation on March 18th at 7 p. Also, on March 23rd at 12 noon, the Augusta Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, along with the Georgia Coalition of the For the People's Agenda, an organization that's based in Atlanta but has had a local presence here in the Augusta area for a few years now. We will be at Williams Memorial CME Church, which is located at 1630 15th Street here in Augusta. We're going to talk about the importance of voting. I, along with Helen Butler, who is their statewide executive director, will be on that panel, maybe some other panelists as well. But that again, Saturday, March 23rd, 12 noon. And I've got a flyer up on our Facebook page so you can refer back to that information. Next on April 6th, which is a Saturday, 12 noon at Pendleton King Park, the campaign of Liz Johnson will be having a discussion on getting all people of all generations to vote. We'll focus on what it takes. You know, we are now in a position where we see older people going to the polls more frequently than younger people. So we're going to have a multi-generational discussion about what it takes for everyone to get motivated and energized to go vote. I think that starts at 12 noon. But again, as I get the flyer and more information, we'll post that on our Facebook page as well. So those are a few things that are coming up. Again, as we get more details on some of those, we'll post flyers. We want to just get out, encourage people to vote, encourage people also, though, at the same time, to become knowledgeable so that they're not voting just to vote. I don't think that really serves any purpose. A lot of times you'll find out somebody voted for somebody, and then you look at what they did after they got in office, and you're just sort of like, I wish I hadn't voted for that person. So that's the last place you want to be. I know sometimes we get surprised, but a lot of times there really wasn't a need for a surprise. I mean, we could have seen some of this coming. So we're going to encourage you to become knowledgeable. Please stay with us. You know, this is the core of Local Matters. When we're not in election years, of course, we have people, organizations, and issues. We discuss all of those things to help you have a better understanding of some of the needs in the community. And now is the time for us to use what we have learned through this platform and through others to make sound voting decisions for ourselves. Again, thanks so much for being a part of our Local Matters family. We welcome your input, your suggestions, and your questions, so we give you what you need to have. Please join Local Matters next week when we'll have candidates for the Augusta-Richmond County Commission District 1 come in and talk to us some about why they decided to run for office, what some of their most significant accomplishments have been, and what their priorities would be if they are elected to office. I close with my favorite Bible verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This show is designed to contribute to each of those, giving you the power that comes with knowledge, demonstrating love for your local community, and offering you wisdom for decision making so that you possess a sound mind when it comes to these topics. Please tune in next Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. or Thursday at 7 p.m. here on 103.7 FM or 1600 AM. Or please go to SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts at any time, because local matters.